Thank you, Lord. Well, God's already changed it already. He has a way of doing that. And as I was hearing the song right before this last one, and we were clapping with the music part at the end, it was like I was feeling the presence of the Lord coming forth more and more. The more we clapped, the more the presence of the Lord was coming in this place. And it was reminding me of a scripture and a word that the Lord gave me probably about a month ago, and I don't even remember what meeting I was at this time, but I think it was actually here on a Monday night. And the Lord had me in 2 Kings chapter 3, where it talks about Moab revolting. And I did a little research on Moab, because sometimes names will give you keys to what's going on. And Moab was the son of Lot. When Lot had his two daughters that slept with him, he was the product of one of the daughters. And his name actually means covetousness or greediness. And it means he wants everything for himself, a selfishness. And the spirit of Moab is prevalent in this Hudson Valley in New York State. It's here. And as Jesus Christ has come to set us free, we know that we can be overcomers of any spirit that's not of Christ. Amen? And it's like the Lord was showing me in 2 Kings chapter 3 about how the Moab was coming to invade Israel, and King Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, and he wanted to call for a prophet. So he called for Elisha. And Elisha didn't want to go at first, but he finally went. And when he went there, first thing he said is that he asked for a harpist to be brought. And the reason he asked for the harpist to be brought was he wanted the praise music to come forth. He wanted praise to infiltrate where he was going to be speaking, where he was going to hear from the Lord and bring forth the word. And he did that because when you praise and you bring forth praises to the king, it blocks out distractions. And I felt today as we were singing and praising God and as we were clapping in the spirit that we were taking distractions out of this place so that we could hear the word, what the Lord is going to say today. And in it, it said, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. Now, when the Lord gave this to me, I knew he was talking about this valley, the Hudson Valley, and that he's saying, make this valley full of ditches. And what he continues to say, for this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing of the eyes of the Lord, and he will also hand Moab over to you. And I heard God saying when I read that he wants us to start digging more and more ditches in the Hudson Valley. And how we do that is to dig into the word, to dig into prayer, and to dig into praise. And as the more we keep digging in this valley, as we dig into people's lives, bringing forth the word of God, we're going to see changes. And we might not see the dramatic wind of the Spirit or the torrential rains of the Spirit, but we're going to see God fill this place with living water. We're going to see a mighty revival over this area. Amen? And I feel like God was saying that to me a few weeks ago. And as we were praying here, and I was praising God, he said, start out with this, because I want the people to know that you're to be participants in digging the ditches in this valley so that we can see a change and we can see a revival. And I was speaking with Vaughn a few days before he left, and he knows there's going to be a revival in this land too. And so he's getting ready right now. While he's away and praying and seeking God, we're getting ready for a great move of God over this church and over the valley, and God wants us to be ready also. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, even as Christians, our lives can be so chaotic. My life the last few months has been so chaotic, and I felt like I've been unorganized. I've had disappointments in things. I've had testings and trials, and I'm sure you've all been in that same place. And Vaughn planned a message for the month of August on the kingdom of God. And when he decided, and God called him away and asked Rich and myself to preach this weekend, our topic was, who is the king? And the first thing when I heard it, I went in panic mode, like, well, I know who the king is. It's Jesus Christ. What else can you say? You know, message done. Okay, I can sit down now. But, you know, it was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I went into panic mode for probably about 10 minutes. Rich will tell you, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Vineyard Church has a saying that says, already, not yet. And I said, well, you know, I get it, but I don't think I can explain to the people already, not yet. And I'm like, I can't do this, God. And I finally just had to lay it down and said, God, you have your way, and you show me how you want me to bring this forth in your way that you can use in my way. Because, you know, Rich preached this last night, and he and I are just totally different in how we preach things. And I had a prison retreat last weekend at Downstate, and we were so blessed by it. But that was a chaotic time, too. And the Lord had given me a message for that. And the Lord told me to take one of the messages I did there and to adapt it about the king. So I was thinking about it, and I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I'm just going to go for it, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, when you get in that chaotic time, don't you just feel like saying, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And, you know, most of us know that's a classic line from The Wizard of Oz. I'm sure everybody here, if you're over 10, you know that. And if you were like me, we watched it every year on TV, starting out in black and white and then evolved to the color. And, you know, it was a classic in our households. And you're probably thinking, oh no, where's she going with that? Diane Kelly. And I was going to use the name Patty Peck instead, you know, blame her, but I can't do that. So, you know, it's like, Diane Caliendo is going to talk about the Wizard of Oz in our Pentecostal Evangelical Vineyard Church. Oh, no, you know. But give me grace and mercy and hear where I'm going with this. Because I actually read part of this story in a Chuck Pierce book, and the Lord really showed me how we can apply this to the kingdom of God. Well, you know what? Dorothy was having a rough life, wasn't she? I mean, she had this dog, Toto, that she absolutely adored. But Toto was a typical dog and was getting into mischief. And he was kind of pestering Elvira Gulch. Remember her? The lady on the bike? You know, and so she got so mad that she took Toto with her one day in the bike, put him in the basket, and she's down the road. And you always forget that. Dun, 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 dun. Remember, you know, she's going down the road with Toto. And, of course, Toto escapes. And Toto runs back to Dorothy. And she'd been so crying and, what, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And she goes to Auntie Em and Aunt Henry and, you know, what can we do? She wants to take Toto away. You know, I can't live without Toto. You know. And Auntie Em and Uncle Henry, they were busy on the farm doing their thing. There was problems. And they were like, don't worry about it, dear. We'll take care of it. And they weren't listening to her. They weren't paying any attention. And how many times have you felt like that, that no, you feel like nobody's listening to you, nobody's paying any attention? And sometimes you even wonder, hey, God, are you listening? Are you listening, God? You know, I've been there, done that. And that's how she felt. And she felt very desperate. And, of course, she just started singing that she'd rather be over the rainbow where it's better. And as she's singing that, a storm starts brewing. And I know we've all had storms brewing in our lives, whirlwinds coming at us where we're like, whoa, I can't stand anymore. Look at the stuff flying at me. And it's like she was at the point where she ran home. And we all know the story where the tornado picked your house up and landed her over the rainbow in the land of Oz. And when she landed, you know what? Her house landed right on that wicked witch. And at first she was mortified. Oh, no, what have I done? But when she came out, all of a sudden out of the bushes, the little munchkins started coming out. Oh, look, the wicked witch is dead. And she's like, oh, no, you know, I might be next. You know, but then she realized that she had done a good thing. She had liberated the munchkins from this wicked witch, and they were so happy with her. They started singing and dancing, and I'm fortunately too tall to give a good imitation. Maybe Rich later. No. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. And we'll get you a helium balloon to blow, and then you got it, right? But anyways, they were so excited because she liberated them. And so what they did, they made her queen for a day. They put a crown on and a robe, and they took those ruby slippers from the witch, and they put them on her feet, and they were all shiny and sparkly. And I love red shoes. I think that was cool. And she was just, like, so excited. And you know, she was getting treasures and things to her and walking around. But all of a sudden, she was realizing, I don't feel any better. All the treasures in the world are coming my way, and I don't feel any better. I still feel empty inside, and I want to go home. How many times have we thought it's greener on the other side of the fence, and we've tried things and strived for things that weren't of God, and we were going on our own wants and desires, and then all of a sudden we realized we were better off where we were, and we want to be home. The munchkins wanted her to stay, but she just said, no, I want to go home. And they couldn't think of any way to help her and finally came up with, well, maybe if you head off to the Emerald City and visit the Wizard of Oz, he'll be able to help you. He's the only one in the territory that can help you. So she started down that infamous yellow brick road. And as she's going down the road, she's searching and she's feeling so empty. And as she's walking along, all of a sudden she hears a voice. And of course, that is the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow is there and she helps him down off the pole that he was on in the field. And they start talking and he tells her, you know, really, I'm no good. I don't have a brain. I don't have a brain. And he was feeling inferior. How many times do we feel inferior? We feel like we're lacking things in our lives. And she was like, well, come with me. The wizard can give you a brain just as easy as he can send me home. Let's get going. So they started going down the road and they meet the Tin Man. And then he gives the story, well, I don't have a heart. And so many times we feel like people we meet don't have hearts. And also sometimes we feel so desperate. The Tin Man was desperate for love. He wanted to know how to give love, know how to receive love. He was in desperation. How many times have we been desperate in our lives and sometimes looking for love in all the wrong places? And he just was like, I need something too. And so these three needy amigos started down the road together to go to Oz to look for their help. On the way there, it turns out there was another wicked witch, and she threw a fireball at Scarecrow. And of course, they all got the fire out quick, but they realized that there were fiery darts coming their way. And I know that when you walk in the kingdom of God, when you're in ministry, when you're in the music ministry, when you're trying to do something for God, how many times do fiery darts of the enemy come your way to stop you from what you're doing? And we just have to keep going. They just said, okay, we're going to keep going. We know that we can make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. And they start going. And they're getting up on it. They're starting to skip along a little bit. And all of a sudden, they come to a deep, dark forest. And they get to that deep, dark forest. And what happens? Fear rises up. Big time fear. They're starting to enter the forest and fear comes in. Now I know about that one. If anybody was bound up with fear big time, that was me. And afraid to even speak in school. I mean, now I used to speak on the radio for how many years and do this and speak in prisons and things. And I know that it's the grace of God. God is so good that he will just turn something around and set you free from something in your life. And it's funny because I even had to interview for a prison job one time and they're like, you have no fear? And I said, no. Nope. And he goes, you must have some fear. And I said, well, I'm still kind of afraid of heights and bridges. And what I do when I go over a bridge, I have to go, I bind the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear. And it's almost like what they were doing. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Have you been in that place where it's lions and tigers and bears, oh my? Bills and no job and no hope, oh my. Sickness and pain and no cure, oh my. Loneliness and fighting and stress, oh my. We get in that place where all we can do is just lament and like, oh no, oh no. Negativity. I have to admit, I grew up in a household of total negativity. If you sneezed, my mother declared that you had a cold. You know, and next thing you know, you had a cold. And over the years, I've learned to tell her, I don't want to hear it, Mom. I'm not getting sick. And so she's at the point now, she goes, I know, we're not getting sick, are we? And you know, I haven't had a really bad cold in years. And it's just where we get to the point, we have to not speak forth negatively, but speak forth the positive. And sometimes I'll say, well, I have the symptoms coming, but I just declare by the blood of Jesus that I'm healed. And we need to walk that way. But as Dorothy and her crew were going through the woods, their momentum of fear was building up. And when the momentum of fear builds up and we're starting to confess negative things in from our mouths, they were confessing lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And what happens? One of the manifestations of their mouth comes right out in front of them, Mr. Lion. We don't know if he's coward yet. You know, and it's like he comes right out and jumps at them. And Dorothy was immediately afraid and wanted to hide behind a tree. So many times we want to run and hide behind somebody else, hide behind a tree, and just get out of there when fear comes out. We'd rather run than stay and face the battle. And So the scarecrow and Timnah, they were getting a little intimidated, and then the lion went after the dog. And like Vaughn was saying a couple weeks ago, you know, if somebody goes after a mother's child, well, Toto was like Dorothy's kid, you know, and it was like, oh, don't go after a child. You know, when the lion was going after Toto, Dorothy said, no, you're not getting my kid. And she come and she punched that lion in the snout. And what does he do? He starts crying and bawling and breaking down. And you know, how many times, especially men in the prison, there's these big men, they work out all the time. And you know what? They have this facade on their face that they're big, tough guys. But you know, we did testimonies at the retreat, and more guys came up and were crying and losing it. And like coming up next to the podium to me, like, I can't do this. And I'm like, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, and we put up a facade. We put up pride instead of letting our real heart show. And so they were telling him, don't worry about it. Come with us. Come with us to the Emerald City, and you will see that the wizard can probably give you courage too. So they started on. They started on. And how many times have you seen people with issues just keep seeking? This world is filled with people who are hurting, who have diseases, who've been abused and broken. And they are seeking for so much. They're seeking for something to take away the pain, something to help them. And of course, Satan, our enemy, is alive and well, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So he sets up things that look good. He sets up charlatans. He sets up other religions that all of a sudden look so cool and relaxing and, oh, you know, let's just chill. And like, he's just setting a bait all over the place, and people are going and they're trying things. I have to tell you, I got really mad in the prison a few weeks ago because the one that Rich and I go to in Shuangunk is Maximum, and a couple of the guys came to us and they go, you know, the Muslim religion is getting so strong in here. It's getting stronger and stronger. And this is the militant type, too. And he goes, a couple of our guys have just left and joined. And that made me so mad that Christianity is not holding these men, but something else is looking better. And you know what? People are seeking. And if we're acting, going around and acting like stick in the mud and letting our own problems pull us down, how are other people going to be attracted to the things of God? We need to not walk around like we're baptized in lemon juice, but go forth with the joy of the Lord and trusting him. And there are multitudes, 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 multitudes in the valley of decision. We live in the Hudson Valley, in a valley, and there are multitudes that want to make a decision and are seeking. Are we ready to lay down our own stuff and meet those needs? They were just going on, Dorothy and her friends. Are we going to get there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? My dad has Alzheimer's, and I drove them someplace a couple weeks ago, and he sat in the front with me just like a little kid. Where are we going? I tell him, are we there yet? It happened every 5 minutes for 3 hours. But, you know, it was like sometimes we keep asking God, are we there yet, God? You know, where are we going, God? Where are we going? And we just need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and he will tell you, and then let's just go for it. He'll give us the peace to go forward. These guys, the lion and Dorothy and them, they had no peace, but they were just striving because they needed help. They were desperate. They were desperate. Dorothy just wanted to get home so badly. And then one more trial came their way. They saw the Emerald City. It was in sight, and then all these poppies were all around in the field. And they didn't know what to do. And there was a good witch. But you know what? The world, this witchcraft going on. I took a class in BOCES 2 years ago, and my teacher was one of the head honcho witches in the Hudson Valley, I found out. And she was talking about it in class. And I went and checked her website, and there, she makes soap, and she does all these herbal remedies and health things. And we got to be really careful what we get into, because what's behind some of this? You know, I wish we'd have Christian doctors and things that would do the all-natural methods, you know? But I don't want to go off in that. But, you know, it's like things hide. You know, it looks good, but what's behind it? We need to be on guard. We need to be alert because we never know if the enemy is lurking there. And, of course, they brought a good witch in, and the good witch made it snow all over the poppies, so they were able to make it into the Emerald City. Now they walked into this emerald city that looked like a kingdom. Rich showed a picture of it last night. It was awesome. It just looked like this big, huge kingdom. And there was everything in there that made them feel good. The first thing they got, manicures and pedicures. You know how Vaughn was talking about his pedicure the other week? You know, and it's like the lion was getting his pedicure and his hair curled, and they were all getting all spruced up with nice clothes, and they were eating great food, and they were feeling great. And, you know, often Vaughn talks about the fact how, as Americans, we don't understand the kingdom and royalty that happens in England and other countries. And you know what? Americans' point of view, we look at the tabloids or on TV, and we see, you know, what's their latest love affairs, what, you know, their BMWs. We see the lap of luxury that they live in, but none of them are happy. You know, they're always having problems. And that's how we see the kingdom of God as America. And not the kingdom of God, rather the kingdom in England and in other places, we just see it's all messed up. And they went in this place and everything looked really good, like you really wanted it, and they were getting ready, but when they finally got in to see the wizard, they found out he was a charlatan. They found out he wasn't real. And they were so disappointed. We went all this way. They went on their own striving. They used their own efforts, their own muscle, their own thoughts, and they went all this way on their own willpower. And what happened? They got to the end, and the wizard couldn't do anything for them. But the thing that they found out was they actually had already what they needed. The lion found out, you know, they pinned a badge of courage on him, but it was like, you have courage already, the wizard told him. And he told the Tin Man, you know, look at how you've treated Dorothy. You have a heart already. And the Scarecrow, you've got brains. And Dorothy, you have just what you need. All you need to do is click those ruby slippers and you're going home, you know? And that's all she had to do. But you know what? That was still not the right answer. We have right at our side exactly what we need. We don't have to look near and far. Jesus Christ is right here, right with us at all times. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. The thing is, so many times, the people of the world, God is right there with them too, but they don't see it. I look back in the days when I was in college and did a few things I shouldn't have, and I look now because I grew up with two praying grandmothers, and I never went that far, and I know that I was protected from so many things because I had grandmas who were praying for me. And, you know, it was like we get off the wrong path, but if someone's praying for you, you guess what? They're coming back. My sons don't know it yet, but they'll be back very soon. You know, and it's like God can do so much. He's right here with us. He's right here with us. Jesus' first words in the book of Mark were, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. He was saying that because he was the kingdom of God on earth. He came right from heaven, but he went through birth, but he came right in heaven as the kingdom of God. He was right there. All they had to do was to tap into him, and they had the kingdom of God. He was referring to himself. Invite me into your life, and you've got the kingdom of God. You have the kingdom powers. It was demonstrated by Jesus, his works, and the power that he had. And it is amazing that the word says that we will do greater things than Jesus. You know, that really makes me think sometimes, you know, I'd love to see that. I've been praying for that for years. I want to see some miracles. And I have seen some, but I want to see more and more. And wouldn't it be great as a church, we just do these things together. The power, one could put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. And when the enemy is gone, the power of God comes forth. It's amazing what we can see happen. The title of the message that Vaughn gave us is, Who is the King? He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's the healer. He's the great I am. He's our mighty fortress. He's our refuge and our strength. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's our all in all in our lives. Psalm 24 gives a really concise answer. This is the story. It starts back in 2 Samuel 6. It's the story of King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, the Ark of the Covenant represented and basically was the presence of God. And he wanted to bring the Ark to Jerusalem because he just had become king of Israel. And he wanted to make Jerusalem like the hub city of God, the most religious high city. So he wanted the ark and the presence there in Jerusalem. Now, his first try, he didn't make it very far, and the Ark of the Covenant ended up in the house of Obed-Edom. And what happened, for 3 months, the Ark was in this man's house, and the whole 3 months, blessings were pouring out. There was great revival, almost like we're seeing in Lakeland, like things were happening in Obed-Edom's house. And I get a lot of email online from different various speakers across the U.S., and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dutch Sheets, but he sent an email that a few months ago, the Lord told his church in Colorado Springs to start an Obed-Edom thing in their church where they were going to, for 3 months, bring forth the presence of God. And the Lord told them to just have praise and praise and more praise. And if prophetic words come forth, good. If some knowledge comes forth, but they weren't going to do any preaching for 3 months. And I got an email from them just the other day, and it's been going on for 2 months now, and he said the most amazing things have been happening in the church. There's been healings, there's been deliverances, there's been words of prophecy that have lined up with things that are happening, and it's been amazing what's happening because they invited the ark into their church. They invited the presence of the Lord into their church, and amazing things have been happening. Now, God might tell us a whole different thing here, but I know that when we were praising this morning, he was reminding me about that word I had earlier about bringing in the harpist, bringing in the praise, how the praise gets rid of distractions. How often we get distracted by so many things. Well, so-and-so said so-and-so, and this is happening, this is happening. Well, you know what? We just need to set it aside and put our eyes on Jesus. Because when we put our eyes on Jesus, we can forgive and forget real easy. When we trust him and we go forth with Jesus, we will see mighty changes in our midst. And I believe that God is bringing forth an anointing that we're going to see healings in this church like we've never seen before. We're going to see his presence where you won't be able to stand up when you're praising. And I know it's going to happen because it's coming to this area because we're going to dig ditches and the rivers of living water are going to flow through this area. Amen. Amen. Well, for David, his second attempt to get the ark into Jerusalem happened. And the ark was finally there. And they started to celebrate. And David got so excited. He danced before the Lord. And if you know your Bible, you know what happened that time when David danced before the Lord. He lost everything he was wearing. Now, they said he had a little loincloth on, but I'd like to picture it that way. You know, but it's like he danced so hard that his clothes just fell off. You know, we have young people that get so excited for the Lord here. It's time some of the rest of us just are like, Lord Almighty, move in this place. And dancing before the Lord and enjoy his presence, enjoy everything of him. Like I said, there's a hurting world out there. If we're not enjoying God, how are others going to enjoy God and enjoy Jesus Christ? He wants us to have that joy understanding, and there's strength in that joy. Now, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 24, as a hymn to be sung as the ark was being brought in. That was its purpose. And they were being set there. And in Psalm 24, that's what I'm going to go to right now, there's two questions that are brought forth. There's only 10 verses in Psalm 24, and two questions brought forth. And the first one is, who is this King of Glory? Well, in verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Basically, number one, who is this king? He's the owner of all the earth. He owns the whole earth and everything in it. He owns us. And he owns the people who don't know him. We are like caretakers of his earth. We are taking care of the things that he gave us. The second thing he is, he's the judge. That's from verse 5. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. He is the judge. He will judge and bring forth blessings. And if you've been wronged in something, he will bring forth vindication. There was a time in my life where I was accused of something I didn't do. And I said, Lord, you are my vindicator. We can't take it up ourselves. And I know sometimes when one of our friends or family gets attacked, we want to pick up the offense. But God is saying, no, don't pick up the offenses any longer. Come to me. He is the blesser and the vindicator. He is the judge. Our job is to just keep praising and praying and being on our face before our Father, trusting Him for the answer. And the third thing, who is this King of Glory? He's the ultimate sovereign King of all, and that's in verses 8 through 10. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. He's strong and mighty, mighty in battle. There's a scripture, the battle belongs to the Lord. How many times do we put our boxing gloves on and get ready to battle? Now, He does want us to battle the enemy, and that's why He's given us spiritual warfare, you know, garments, you know, to put on our warfare and our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, walk forth with the peace on our feet. You know, it was funny at the retreat with the inmates. I love the pastor there. He's from the South, and he was like, oh, yeah, I started out in a small town in West Virginia. And he's going on, and he was talking about when he was in the Navy, and he goes, I had this, I don't know what these M48s, I don't know what these different things are, and I had a knife in my boot and this and that, and he's telling this story. And I couldn't resist. After he got done, I got up and said, well, you know what? I'm from a little town upstate New York, a white picket fence house. Now, we weren't rich. We ate peanut butter and jelly every day. And as I grew up, the Lord told me that I was armed and dangerous because I had my helmet of salvation on and my breastplate of righteousness and my belt of truth and my feet shod with the gospel of preparation of peace. And also, I've got my shield of faith that no darts can come my way and the sword of the Spirit, so I'm just as armed and dangerous as you, Rev. You know? And that's how we can be. We don't need the physical guns. Like the corrections officers in the facility, they kind of freak when they hear us say, we want you armed and dangerous, you know. But, you know, that's what we are in the Spirit. We need to be. We need to stand up to the call that God has brought forth. The second question in Psalm 24, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Now in Matthew 5:8, it says, only the pure in heart will see God. Well, I desire to see God. Now we all, our hearts aren't pure all the time. We all have things that come in. But you know what? The more you love Jesus, the more you get into Jesus, something impure tries to come in. You know it right away and you tell it to go. And that's a place that we have to get to in our lives. When something comes our way that's not of the Lord, we just need to walk away and say, no, it's not of God. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Do we have the guts to do that? Well, I don't always either, but you know what? God wants us to try more and more to do that. We become pure in our hearts when our heart emulates Jesus' heart. You know, I used to think the phrase was corny, what would Jesus do? But it's really true. How would Jesus react if someone came to you? You know, when we went to Jamaica a few years ago on a mission trip, and we went to this, I don't even know what it was. It was a home for basically Jamaica's unwanted people. There was people in there. Some were mentally challenged. Some were just old with Alzheimer's. There was a young woman in her 20s who had polio, and she was laying in a bed. That was her entire existence. They came and turned her over now and then and brought her food. And changed her clothing, but she just laid there. So I remember sitting on the floor. I think Lisa was with me, Lisa Flynn, and we sat there and we just talked to her. And it was heartbreaking. And later on, we had brought ice cream and cones and stuff. And this one lady who was mentally challenged just decided she liked me. And she was drooling, and I'm thinking, oh God, can I handle that? You know, but she grabbed hold of my arm. And the whole time I said, okay, Lord, I can do this. As long as she doesn't drool on me, I'm doing fine. You know, but it was like, we can do this. And the longer I was with her, the more love that I was feeling towards this woman. And finally it was like, you want ice cream? And, oh, yeah, ice cream. And we went and got ice cream. And, you know, if we can reach out to the lowliest of lowlies, you know, it's like God is just saying He loves us all the time. He loves that woman just as much as He loves me. He loves every person that we see on the street, the bag ladies and the homeless. He loves them just as much as He loves us. And at this church, I know we are doing a great work with what Patrick's doing with Fan Squared. It's wonderful. But we all need to be a part of something. And if it's nothing else but to pray that the finances come in, that things come in, that the ones who are called to go out and speak can do it, we have a part in this church, every single one of us. We need to just go forth and have that purity heart, loving the unlovely. And there's been a lot of times I've felt pretty unlovely. And when someone else would give me some love and encouragement, it's like all of a sudden you don't feel unlovely anymore. We've all had that point where you look in the mirror and it's like, oh no, you know, unlovely day today. You know, but when someone else encourages us, how do we feel? You know, all of a sudden you feel so much better. And that's being like Jesus. That's like having Jesus' heart in your heart. And we not only get that presence of heart, we can walk forth in the power of the kingdom. That saying that I talked about in the beginning, the vineyard kingdom theory, it's already, not yet. Well, the already is the fact that Jesus came to earth and he left a legacy for us. He left a legacy of his love and his power. And as we invited him into our hearts, his legacy, his kingdom entered us. And where we walk, his kingdom goes. And we need to go forth as kingdom walkers, knowing that the kingdom of God is within us and that we bring the kingdom to other places. And the not yet, well, that's when Jesus returns. And I'm hearing people go, he's coming soon. I'd like to believe that. He's coming soon. My 80-year-old mother goes, I'm pretty sure I'm going to see Jesus. And I don't know. We don't know the time or the date, you know, but guess what? We need to be ready like he's coming 5 minutes from now. Are we ready? Are we ready for his coming soon? Because the kingdom will come in its glory at that time. You know, in the meantime, back to old Dorothy, she had the key to get home. But you know what? We have the key to walk in kingdom authority. Dorothy was royalty for a day, queen for a day. If I said I watched that show when I was a kid, you guys would really know how old I am then. I love that show. I was little. I was very little when Queen for a Day was on TV. And I used to love it when, oh, I got a washing machine. That was the biggest thing. They crowned her and her gift was a washing machine, you know? And it was like, and actually I have to admit, I'm over 50. On my 50th birthday, they made me Queen for a Day too. It was really cool. They put a crown and a robe and it was nice. I had this little Barbie scepter. It was fun. But you know what? We are royalty 24/7 when we have Jesus Christ. We are children of the King. It says in the Word that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are King's kids. We are princes and princesses in his kingdom. And as royalty, we can go to his throne. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." There's a throne. It was funny because when Rich read that scripture last night, I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's like you hear that all the time. But actually, I pictured the whole kingdom, and I pictured that throne right there, and there it is, and Jesus is on that throne, and it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can go boldly to that throne in the kingdom. That's so awesome to think that, and that he'll be there in our time of need. We can boldly tap into the things of God when we're in his presence. When people come up to be prayed for, I don't always know what to pray for them. Sometimes I need to ask them. But other times when I've been in his presence and as I'm praising God and I'm singing the words and really taking the words into my spirit on how much I love God and how he's moving in his presence, and Lord, there's none like you. As you're really singing and being in with him, it's like people come up and right away I know what to pray over somebody. You know, I prayed a few years ago. I love this story because it's just an example. I went to a Korean church with Vaughn. Two women came up to pray, and a lot of them didn't speak English there. And in fact, when Vaughn was preaching, there was a translator for him because most of the church only spoke Korean. And so two women came up to me for prayer, and one of them spoke English and the other didn't. And the Lord right away told me, the one on your right hand is very sick, and the one on your left has problems that are emotional problems. So the one on my right fortunately spoke English, and I said to her, the Lord is telling me that you're very ill. And she goes, I said, are you? And she goes, yes, I have leukemia. And I said, well, I hate this old cliche, but if the Lord revealed it, he means to heal it. And he told me that you're very sick. So we're going to pray over you. So we prayed over her. And when I finished, I said, now, I gave her my card because at the time I was still at the radio station. I said, here, when you get your message from the doctor that you're healed, I want to hear from you. And then the other woman didn't speak English, so we got a translator, and I said to the translator, I feel that she's really hurting in her heart, that she's saddened, that she's struggling with something in her life and her emotions. And the woman translator said, yes, her husband is bipolar, and when he's up, he's okay, but when he's down, it's bad. And he doesn't want her to go to church, he's verbally abusive, and she's really struggling. So I was able to pray for her. And look how God told me the two different things. And I have to say, about 3 months later, I got a call at the radio station, and this woman said her name, and at first I didn't recognize it, and she goes, I'm the one from the Korean church with the leukemia. And I go, oh, wow. And I said, you're only calling me for one reason then. And she goes, yeah, I just went back to the doctor. The leukemia is totally gone.
Praise Jesus.
You know, I've had thousands of stories like that, and I can't do that in myself. None of us can. Some of us think we can, but I learned a long time ago, I can't do it. It's only the power and the presence of God, and it's allowing him to come in. You know, I take praying for people seriously, and I want the power and the presence of God, and sometimes I will say to them, look, you know, I'm not hearing anything. Let's just pray blessings. Just pray healing. And other times, you look at a person's face, and I go, I'll be honest, like, I can tell you look depressed today. Not that you ever look depressed. I'm not that young, man. But, you know, and I said, I'm just reading your body language, but I can tell that you're not doing well. And the best thing when you're praying for people is just to be honest and then seek God. And I find when you're honest and you're seeking him, all of a sudden he'll start telling you things. It's like the channel opens up and his presence is there. And then you start seeing things happen in the spirit realm that are mighty and they're awesome. And you just trust God's word that you can do greater things than Jesus did. That's a mighty a mighty feat, but you can do it. One of my very favorite scriptures is in Matthew 11:12. It says, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. I love that one. I love it. And I think in the King James Version, it's like, you know, violently advancing and violent men take. But, you know, it's better to say forceful. And it's like forceful. I love it says here that the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. That means it's forcefully advancing. Look what's happening at Lakeland in Florida. It's coming up the coast. It's coming up to North Carolina. It's coming this way. It's forcefully coming. And it says forceful men, forceful mankind, men and women, lay hold of it. It's time that we lay hold of it in this church, that it's coming here, and I want it. And I hope I'm not the only one that wants the kingdom of heaven powerfully in this church and in this valley. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay. In the Emerald City, there were guards all over the place. Remember, there was a guard at the door. They couldn't even get in at first. And there were guards all over the place. Well, guess what? In the kingdom of God, there's no guards. God is their rear guard, the word says. But the Lord was showing me in Timothy 6:20, he said to Timothy, Timothy was told to guard what has been entrusted to his care. You need to guard what's been given to you. When the guys in the prison told me about the men being pulled away into to Islam there, I was like, guys, you got to guard what God has given you. Don't let go. It's a precious treasure. It's a gift. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Fight for it in the spirit realm and don't give up. Don't give up because you will see the fruit of what comes forth from Jesus Christ. You need to guard what God has given you. Guard this that we have in this church. Guard the praise that we have. Guard the anointing. Guard his presence and don't let go. In Greek, it literally means keep the deposit. We need to keep what's been deposited here. Keep it. And it means that we have a sacred obligation to keep safe the treasure of the word and all God has given us in the kingdom that we have on earth here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the word of God. I want to read from one more scripture in Ephesians 3. The Lord gave me this word exactly 5 years ago in August. I was reading Ephesians 3, and you know how you can read the Bible over and over, and you read it and you get some of it, but sometimes you don't see a light bulb just all of a sudden goes on. And the light bulb went on for this for me, starting at verse 2. And it said, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly." The footnote in my Bible talks about this mystery is God's purpose to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. God wants to bring heaven and earth together. And then it says, "In reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power." When I read that, all of a sudden the light bulb went on that because of the Holy Spirit, I can now be privy to some of Christ's mysteries. So I started to ask God, okay, says it right here in the Word. I know the power of your Spirit. I want to start seeing your mysteries. And that was the day in August, 5 years ago, when God started showing me things in the spirit realm. And I've seen angels, I've seen demons, and I've had confirmations of things. And God will do that in your life also when you trust and reach out in Him. In the back of my Bible, I write notes all over my Bible. And this morning, I just opened it, and I saw a word that I'd written to myself. And I said, "Lord, overwhelm me with your presence." If that's your prayer today, "Lord, overwhelm me with your presence." Let the Lord overwhelm you in his presence. And right now, I want to end with a kingdom prayer. In the same book of Ephesians, I actually wrote this several years ago, kingdom prayer. And it's in the headline of my Bible, it says, "A Prayer for the Ephesians." And I want to read this and pray this over you at the same time. And then later on, as I end the prayer, if you do not have Jesus in your heart, today is the day to come forward and say, "Yes, Lord, I'd like to invite you in." If you need to get to a point where you've just been riding the fence and you've been lukewarm, today is the day to get off that fence and come hotter with Jesus. And if you just have a need in your body, there will be people up here to pray, some of the prayer members, some of the core team. Please come forward and pray. Don't leave without it, because God wants to move in your life and his presence is here in this place today. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And Lord God, I just pray for these people in this room right now, Lord. I thank you that you brought them here today, because if they're here, then you meant for them to hear this, Lord. I pray that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that you would open up their eyes to see the mysteries of you this day, Lord. That you would draw them closer unto you, Lord God. That they would know that they've been called by you, anointed, and just that they have to know that they've been drawn by you this day into the presence, your holy presence in this place. And Lord, we thank you that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, Lord. And I imagine and ask a lot of you, Lord, and just you're saying you do immeasurably more than that, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the power of you works within us, and that we work together as a body, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your fresh anointing fall upon these people today, Lord. Let a stirring happen in their hearts right now, Lord. Let them know that all things are possible through Christ Jesus and that they can do all things through you who gives them the strength. Let them know that you never leave them and you never forsake them, Lord, and that you are mighty to the pulling down of all strongholds, that you hold all of our children in the palm of your hand, Lord. Oh, glorious Father, we just praise you this day. Oh, Father, we love you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that we are part of the kingdom, your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the Hudson Valley, Lord. Help the people to dig the ditches so that the valley will be filled with rivers of living water, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Like, I don't want to say amen because I don't want his presence to end.